the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a pre-Christmas edition of Vatican Insider. In fact, this weekend, instead of an interview, I present a fun special on Christmas and New Year and how both are celebrated in the Vatican and in Rome. Some interesting history and color and traditions are included in this report. So gather around for a Christmas story a la Italiana and be sure to include the young ones. That story comes after the news, so let's start with a look at a few of the week's highlights. Lots of events this week, so the summaries of papal speeches and greetings will be shorter than usual. Sunday, December 15th, Pope Francis embarked on the 47th international trip of his papacy, spending 9 hours in Ajaccio, Corsica, birthplace of Napoleon, where he addressed a conference on popular piety in the Mediterranean, the main reason for his trip. His first stop was at the St. John Baptistry, dating back to the 6th century and unearthed in 2005 during excavations for a parking lot. His visit included meetings with Corsica's bishops, clergy, and religious, the Angelus, an afternoon mass, and a meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron before heading back to Rome. Corsica is home to more than 340,000 people, of whom 92% are Catholic. Francis is the first pope to visit Corsica. Monday, December 16th. Speaking to members of Spain's Filipino community, Pope Francis highlighted the life of St. Lorenzo Ruiz, the Philippines' first saint, calling him a very beautiful figure who speaks to us about the integration of cultures. St. Lorenzo Ruiz, like millions today, in fact, was forced to leave his homeland of the Philippines because of injustice, and he was eventually called to testify to his faith through the ultimate act of love, giving his life. Also Monday, Pope Francis addressed Italian banking institutes and reminded them of the ethical dimension of banking, challenging the financial sector to invest in development, not exploitation and war. He again warned against financial speculation that prioritizes profit over people. Also Monday, Pope Francis greeted a delegation of the World Methodist Council, and he encouraged ecumenical efforts ahead of the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea in 2025, a council that united Christians around the Nicene Creed or profession of faith. Tuesday, December 17th. To mark his 88th birthday, Pope Francis released several excerpts from his autobiography entitled Hope, which will hit bookstores in January, recounting his childhood in Buenos Aires and the logistical difficulties of his 2021 visit to Iraq. On Tuesday, the Roman branch of ACLI, the Italian Christian Workers Association, organized an event to introduce students to the world of work. Pope Francis sent a message for the occasion, telling students the world is opening itself up before you. It may appear crowded and distracted as you arrive, but it lacks your contribution. I want to tell each one of you that you bring something new to the world. With you, everything, truly everything, can change. Wednesday, December 18. At the general audience in the Paul VI Hall, the Pope began a new series of catecheses for the entire Holy Year on the Jubilee theme of Jesus Christ our Hope. He reflected on the Gospel accounts of Jesus' genealogy, saying they remind us that his life and identity belong to a greater history that embraces his ancestry, his family, and the faith of the entire people of Israel. As Christmas approaches, said the Pope, let us give thanks for our own genealogy and renew our commitment to embody the gifts of reconciliation, peace, and hope, which our Lord brought into this world by his incarnation. Later at the audience, the Pope noted he was praying for the victims of the cyclone in the French Indian Ocean territory of Mayotte that hit Saturday, leaving widespread destruction in its wake, and thousands are feared dead. Thursday, December 19th. Welcoming Italian pilgrims from the Camino de Santiago in Spain, Pope Francis encouraged them in their apostolate of care and evangelization. The ancient pilgrims teach us that from Christian pilgrimages we return as apostles. He said, what makes a pilgrimage different from a simple journey are three things: silence, the gospel, and Matthew 25. And this says, whatever you did for the least of my brothers, you did for me. Also Thursday, Papal Almoner Cardinal Konrad Krajewski, on behalf of Pope Francis, will deliver a Christmas gift to the people of war-torn Ukraine, a large medical camper that is also a small mobile hospital where surgical operations can also be carried out. And this according to a press statement from the Dicastery for Charity. Also Thursday, in an address to a group of Vietnamese benefactors of the Pontifical Missionary Works, Pope Francis emphasized the joy of supporting those who live on the margins of society. The delegation of Vietnamese residing in the United States is on a pilgrimage to Rome and was received by the Pope. Francis also highlighted the steadfast faith of many Catholic immigrants from Vietnam living in America. Friday, December 20th. At the start of a meeting with the Italian Federation of Bocce Players, Pope Francis said, "Excuse me, but I have a bad cold." He went on to read his address, but he did so with notable breathing issues. He called bocce a tranquil sport, an alternative to the big machine of the sports business. However, earlier in the morning, he did not attend the third sermon of Advent in the Paul VI Hall, although his presence had been announced in recent days. Also on Friday, the Pope did greet 80 children of Italian's Catholic Action lay movement and urged them to spread the wonder of Jesus' love for us every day by being close to the needy and those suffering war, especially other children. Azione Cattolica Ragazzi, made up of youngsters between 4 and 14 years of age, is the children's wing of Italian Catholic Action, founded over a century ago for the spiritual and moral renewal of society through the education and formation of young people. Well, those are the main news stories, but now stay tuned for my special on how Christmas and New Year's are celebrated at the Vatican and in Rome.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilino with a few words about St. Agnes of Rome. She was a teen or tween when she refused a marriage proposal. She could not marry because she had consecrated herself to Jesus. Her jilted suitor denounced her as a Christian, and she was condemned. Agnes's courage in facing death was a major factor in the conversion of Rome.
This is a Pro-Life Minute with doctors Stephen and Gracie Christie.
Gracie, as Catholics, we're very often accused of being just religious wackos, imposing our religious moral codes on the rest of the world. They tell us, keep your religion off our uterus, or keep your rosaries off our ovaries. How do we reply to that?
Well, while many of the world's major religions oppose abortion, opposition to abortion doesn't have to be based on religion at all. My own opposition to abortion is based on science, the law, reason, morality, social justice, and the visible evidence.
Absolutely. And because the overwhelming majority of pro-choice people are secular, I've always recommended that we avoid religious arguments entirely. In the vast majority of cases, I've come to learn that making a religious argument is simply handing your opponent a club with which to beat you over the head. We have so many compelling non-religious arguments that powerfully explain why abortion is wrong. I say we stick to them.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to the interview segment of Vatican Insider this Christmas season weekend. Welcome to the special I've prepared for you, where I bring you to the Vatican and to the Eternal City of Rome, and together we will explore how Christmas and the New Year are celebrated in this magnificent and magical city and land. If you can, gather the entire family for this Christmas visit, and especially bring the young ones. Above everything else, we must never forget the reason for this season. No matter where we are, no matter how small the gathering, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We also celebrate the Holy Family, a model for all families. No beautiful trees, no fancy wrappings for presents, No gorgeous home decorations can equal the uniqueness of this day we call Christmas. Welcome to Rome, where the churches, piazzas, fountains, and palazzi are old, but the spirit is young. Welcome to a city whose traffic, irrational parking, and inconsistent store hours can drive you to distraction, but whose magic persuades you to come back frequently, if not to stay forever, as I decided to do decades ago. The bureaucracy can be maddening, and quite often the Italians use their inexplicable knack of finding the longest possible route to accomplishing a task, but that's all part of the fun. Italians have managed for millennia to deal with the idiosyncrasies of life here, described by one writer as, quote, the splendid eternal chaos. The Italians just roll with the punches. In Italian, this is called the arte di arrangiarsi, the knack of getting along. If something isn't working, Italians shrug their shoulders and they say pazienza, patience, and eventually it works. You will be enchanted by Rome and by the Vatican, as millions have been before you. The magic is there. It pulsates, vibrates, defies description. It's in the history, the art, the majestic basilicas, elegant bridges, splendid piazzas, cobblestone streets, bubbling fountains, and symphony of church bells. The magic is in the smile of a flower vendor, the rich baritone of a waiter who unexpectedly serenades you, or the exuberance of a child playing with the pigeons in Piazza Navona. It's in the air of a deserted city on a Sunday morning, when the city seems to belong to you alone, or the startling quiet of St. Peter's Square in pre-dawn hours, as black-robed Monsignori hurry along to say Mass. It's in the joy of gathering with friends to dine on some of the most scrumptious cooking this side of paradise. If you've guessed I love Rome, you are certainly right. And even though I cannot personally show you around Rome at this beautiful and blessed time of Christmas, we can visit it together through this program. All of Rome's magical beauty is magnified, or so it seems, at Christmas. The flower stands are awash in red as poinsettias flood the floral market. Hotels and stores put on their Christmas finery, of course, and hundreds of streets and piazzas in the center and on the periphery of Rome string miles of twinkling lights across them, welcoming the resident or visitor with auguri, best wishes, or buon Natale, Merry Christmas. If you're used to the Christmas lights and decorations found on homes and stores and malls in America, this is not quite as lavish, but Italy has its own charm and way of being lavish. There are, as you can imagine, some very special occasions and very special places to visit during the Christmas season here in Rome and at the Vatican. But let's start our visit at the Vatican. In 1982, Pope St. John Paul decided that St. Peter's Square should have a nativity scene flanked by a Christmas tree. For years after that, the Vatican's engineers and technical services created stunning presepi, the Italian word for nativity scene, changing the theme and the buildings every year. With cost-cutting measures enacted a few years ago at the Vatican, the work of building a nativity scene was outsourced, so to speak, and regions of Italy or other countries in Europe and even organizations offered to host a presepe in the famous square. Christmas trees in the square are also special, with tall, majestic trees donated over the decades by Austria, Germany, Switzerland, Slovenia, and various regions of Italy. Workers usually spend 1 week securing the tree in place and decorating it and placing the giant star that glows on and off at the top. It beckons one and all to come to St. Peter's Square, especially at night, with the thousands of LED lights now used. For some, it's really a light show. Whatever country donates the tree for St. Peter's Square usually also donates a number of smaller trees for the Apostolic Palace, the Paul VI Hall, and other halls and offices of the Roman Curia. Unfortunately, few can be seen by outsiders, and I'm sorry because I've been privileged to see quite a number of them, and they are wonderfully decorated. You must, of course, go into St. Peter's Basilica and see the nativity scene there. It's on the left aisle, close to the basilica entrance. Before we leave the Vatican, I'd like to tell you about the blessing of the Bambinelli, the statues of baby Jesus that take place on the third Sunday of Advent, which is really quite lovely, as that is Gaudete Sunday, a Sunday for rejoicing that falls midway between the start of Advent, a liturgical season of anticipation, and the joy of Christmas Day, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is born. Children of all ages and from all over Rome, and sometimes other towns and cities in Italy, bring statues of the baby Jesus to be blessed by the Pope at the end of the Angelus. These statues will be placed in the cribs of nativity scenes in homes and schools. Often you'll see a child holding up two or even three statues for the papal blessing as they bring baby Jesus for a friend who couldn't come that day. This tradition was started by St. Paul VI in December 1969. The presepe or presepio is traditionally the main focus of Christmas decorations in Italy, in homes and schools, in workplaces, and, of course, in the thousands of churches throughout the land. You can walk into any church in Rome at Christmas time, and you will find a nativity scene, small or large, rustic or citified, very simple, or elegantly crafted by specialists. Make sure you have your camera with you as you pop in and out of Roman churches and basilicas to document this beautiful tradition. And by the way, a number of restaurants even feature lovely nativity scenes. From the Latin word presepium, presepe loosely means stall, and refers to the scene of the newborn Jesus Christ sleeping in a simple country manger, attended by Mary and Joseph, and later, kings who came from afar. Christians have long incorporated visual presentations of this nativity scene, or creche, into their seasonal customs. In the 4th and 5th centuries, the nativity and the adoration of the Magi were common themes for church decoration. In 1223, presepe gained fame with St. Francis of Assisi, who arranged his own living presepe, a straw-filled, animal-laden stall set in a grotto in the town of Greccio. This has been replicated every year since then. In the 18th century, Neapolitan fashion dictated the transformation of presepe from assemblies of rustic miniatures to grand spreads of intricately sculpted figurines in elaborately conceived architectural plans. Entire towns and villages are recreated with hundreds of figures placed on hills, in fields, in homes and piazzas. There are aqueducts, trees, running water, fireplaces, people at work, and children at play. Such presepe can be seen throughout Italy today. They are often breathtaking in size and scope, in their beauty, and their incredible attention to the smallest detail. I have several friends who have recreated such towns in their homes, albeit on a smaller scale. Churches in Rome known for their spectacular presepe include Santa Maria in Via and Largo Chigi, Saints Cosmas and Damien, the Gesù, and Santa Maria in Araceli, with its 16th century presepio and the famous wood statue of a rather plump baby Jesus known as the Santo Bambino. Today, one can see only a copy of this statue, as the original 15th century statue, made from wood from the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem, was stolen in 1994 and sadly never recovered. Baby Jesus was not even offered for ransom. Watching over an altar strewn with letters written and mailed to him, the Santo Bambino resides in a secluded chapel at the back of the church, with his rosy-cheeked face poking out of swaddling clothes rich with gold and pearls. Come midnight on Christmas Eve, however, he is lifted from his bejeweled case to join the ceremony on Capitoline Hill in his honor. Romans and tourists alike climb the 124 candlelit steps leading up to Santa Maria in Araceli to view the baby in his manger, in the church's presepe, and to bestow upon him the traditional Epiphany kiss. The church gets many letters addressed to the Holy Child, and these are placed before the statue unopened. They're for baby Jesus, not for the priests. Really special is St. Mary Major Basilica. Under the high altar is the crypt of the Nativity, or the Bethlehem crypt, with a crystal reliquary designed by Giuseppe Valadier and said to contain wood from the holy crib of the Nativity of Jesus Christ. Pope Francis in 2019 authorized a very small fragment of this crib reliquary to be returned to Bethlehem in Palestine. Also in St. Mary Major is the burial place of St. Jerome, the 4th century doctor of the church, who translated the Bible into the Latin language known as the Vulgate. A must-see nativity scene is that built by Rome's Nettorbini, or street cleaners, of AMA, the municipal waste management company. Located just minutes from St. Peter's Square on a small side street, Via dei Cavalieri No. 5, this is actually open all year round. Pope John Paul visited this Presepe all but the last 2 years of his 26-year pontificate. Other visitors have included Pope Benedict XVI, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and a succession of Rome's mayors and Italian politicians. Tucked away in an ex-storeroom on a side street near the Basilica, you could easily think you're mistaken when you walk up to the building in a setting that is so humble and unpretentious that anyone not in the know would walk right past it. The entrance, in fact, number 5, is a doorway leading into a courtyard that houses an unprepossessing block of premises belonging to AMA. There are, however, signs on nearby streets that lead the visitor to this site. You might also want to visit the 100 Cribs or Cento Presepi exhibit, which has found its way into Rome's cultural, tourist, and social life under the auspices of the Vatican. The exhibit is now hosted under the left-hand colonnade of St. Peter's Square. There are countless masterpieces from Italy and around the world in this exhibit, and it's well worth a visit as you behold nativity scenes made of coral, silver, porcelain, iron, wood, papier-mâché, and recycled materials. I even saw one nativity set made of pencils. Now, Piazza Navona, one of Rome's most beautiful and popular squares, until recently was a huge Christmas market in December, with stands selling nativity scenes, Christmas trees, ornaments, lights, sweets, toys, and a few surprises as well. Some things have been downsized here recently, but the historical square is always magical. Piazza Navona has forever been a favorite destination for children, for another reason. It's tradition that each year, each family or child will pick out one new figurine for the family nativity scene that's built at home. And Navona in December always has been a great place to find these terracotta figurines. The real capital of Christmas figurine making, however, is Naples. The place to go in Naples is Via San Gregorio Armeno. Just Google Naples and the words nativity scene or Presepe to get directions. A few years ago, Santa on a rope ladder became fashionable. Since there are very few chimneys in Italian cities, this means no roof for Santa and his sleigh, and thus these cloth Santas on a ladder get hung from windowsills. On Christmas Eve, a meatless fish dinner is traditionally eaten with one's family, followed by a visit to a nativity scene and midnight mass. Many midnight masses actually start in late evening, such as that presided over by the popes in St. Peter's Basilica. So it's now called the Christmas Vigil Mass. Another popular Christmas figure you will find here and in many stores is the Befana, a witch-like figure who rides a broomstick and brings coal to bad children and candy to good children. Befana is a breakdown of the word Epiphany, and many, in fact, call her the Epiphany Witch, because she arrived in the night of the Epiphany to fill children's stockings with her gifts. Yet another Italian tradition is to buy a small ornament-sized broom with Christmas ribbons on it. This is called a scacciaguai. It symbolizes the sweeping away of one's troubles. Bonfires are often held on Christmas Eve in the main square of many towns, especially in mountain areas. Dinner on Christmas Day is usually meat-based and, again, brings the family together. December 26th, the Feast of St. Stephen, is also a big holiday in Italy and the best day for winding down and recovering from gastronomic overindulgence. New Year's Eve, like most places in the world, there are festive dinners, entertainment, and very high prices. Fireworks have for decades played a really major role in Italy at New Year's, and you'll hear cracking and exploding sounds for quite some time, starting at midnight. Naples is known for its fireworks, as they are manufactured there, but I've been in Naples for a New Year's Eve celebration. Every home, every apartment, every balcony or rooftop had explosions of colorful fireworks. It seemed to last forever. By the noise, you would have thought you were in a war zone. This is Italy, so food is of paramount importance. The New Year menu will include lentils that symbolize wealth and prosperity, and sausage meat, which again means good fortune for the coming year because it is a rich food symbolizing abundance. The meal will likely end with grapes, as they will ensure that you will be frugal with your newfound wealth, because it was thought that only someone with excellent willpower could save the grapes from the spring harvest until the New Year meal. And of course, there's the ubiquitous panettone, a sweet bread that originated in Milan and is a national symbol at Christmas. At Italian New Year's Eve parties in homes, people settle around the table for a game of tombola, similar to bingo. Tombola was created in Naples in the 1700s as an alternative to gambling, which the church did not approve of. Now, let's move to January 6th, Feast of the Epiphany. The Epiphany is, of course, the 12th day of Christmas, when the three wise men gave baby Jesus their gifts. In some families, Epiphany is a bigger celebration than Christmas, and for many, the end of the Christmas season. Until a few years ago, the official end of the Christmas season at the Vatican was the February 2nd Feast of the Presentation of the Child Jesus in the Temple, and the tree and nativity scene always remained in the square until that day. Under Pope Francis, that end of season event is the baptism of Jesus, the second Sunday of January. We must note here another all-pervasive custom, the wearing of red underwear. The color of red for centuries has symbolized New Year's, but for centuries it was used to ward off war and other disasters, and this can be seen in most shop windows in the lead-up to New Year. Hopefully you can make it to Rome some year for the Christmas holidays. It's really a special treat. Now before I close, with love in my heart and a smile on my face, I'd like to wish all of my radio listeners, TV viewers, and blog readers a blessed, beautiful, and holy Christmas, and a happy, healthy New Year filled with many special moments and people. God sit on your shoulder.
For more information on these stories or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.